Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jalene. And today, Saul wants to talk about inspiration for adventures. Where do you get your ideas?
We've been playing and running games for a while. And I play a lot of games. I run a lot of games at conventions, right? One of the reasons is I'm a cheap bastard. I don't want to pay the price to get in. But if they let you,
this is true.
They let you in, and if you run a game for a certain amount of hours and stuff. And so I run a game, one or two games over the weekend. Because of that, I run a lot of games. Every convention, I run a game.
But don't let him fool you. He loves running the games.
Yes, I do run. I do like running games. I do like GMing, and I play games too. But I do like GMing. A lot of times, people come up to me afterwards, and they're like, "Oh, is this a published adventure or whatever?" And I say, "No, I just came up with it." And they go, "Oh, where'd you get the idea from?" And
blanks out at that moment.
I don't blank out, but but it's been asked often enough that I was talking to Jalene about it, and it was, where do we get our inspiration to run our games? Where do our ideas come from?
So what are your classic inspirations?
Classic inspirations? Well, of course, everybody's read books, everybody's seen movies, everybody's seen TV shows, and all those are viable places to get ideas to run a game. The problem is, though, like Jalene pointed out, is that if, let's say, it's a Star Trek, right? Now, there's people out there who've seen every freaking Star Trek episode, and they know every. So when you get ideas off of that, they know, oh, I know what that episode is all about, right? And so that can be difficult to run a game using ideas from the shows, because a lot of people will have memorized those shows and will see that if you base an adventure off of that.
But they may not think that's a bad thing. So if you're running genre games, and your inspiration, obviously, could come from the shows that you've seen, especially for Star Trek. Star Trek would be easy because most Star Trek players aren't going to care where you got your inspiration. They're just going to be excited to be playing in a game that involves the Enterprise or a shuttle.
Right, right. So it's not a big deal, but know that if you borrow too much from an episode, when I'm talking about inspiration, I'm not talking about copying, like, oh, I'm going to use the whole episode of Star Trek episode season 4, number 30 or whatever, and try to run an adventure like that. Because what happens is your characters are not gonna do what the actors did in that. They're not going to adhere to the script.
That's why we've talked about genre games before when you run them, and your idea is that you take ideas from the shows and you create your own adventure, right? And then you can run it on the side of somewhere where a lot of people aren't, where maybe people haven't explored in the galaxy or...
Right. We talked about genre games. Exactly. But still, you can still get ideas from TV shows and movies. And when I say, get ideas, I'm not talking about ripping out the whole freaking plot and throwing it into an RPG game. What I'm talking about is just an idea. Because a lot of times when I come up with a whole adventure, and I'm talking mainly, not campaign-wide adventures, but... I'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm running a lot of one shots because I play or run a lot of games at conventions. And so the idea for a session, it can come from anywhere. And it's usually just some crazy idea that pops into my head. And so you can get inspiration, those kind of inspirations you can get from anywhere. You can get them from a news article, one of these fantastical, back in the day, I don't know if this thing still exists, there used to be like the World Weekly News, right? And there would be these fantastical stories, Bat Boy saves the president and stuff like that. And so, just those fantastical headlines, just the headlines could give you an idea for a whole adventure.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that, I'm sure. In fact, there was this game called Dark Conspiracy that ran a lot years ago. And they said that's a gold mine is go to your, I forget what they called it.
The Inquirer, the National Inquirer.
No, but the Weekly World News and there was another one that was really bad. They came up with, just crazy stuff. Like they found Amelia Earhart's plane and she's still alive. And stuff like that. Yeah. And so Dark Conspiracy was like this little bit of a near future, bad things are happening, pre-post-apocalyptic type of setting. So it said, for ideas for your games, just rip out from those headlines and then base your adventure on that. And I actually did that in one case. There was a line, Miracle Pooch survives, right? And I just thought, wow, that'd be cool. So I based the whole adventure off that one headline. And I get ideas from other podcasts. There's a podcast actual play podcast and YouTube videos. You can get them from there. There's a wealth of
You don't even have to go that far.
No?
You ask me where I got my idea for the Santa Claus game I ran for the boys.
That's true.
That was a few years ago. They were a lot younger, and they still believed in Santa Claus.
Yes, that was pretty cool.
And all it was I wanted to give them a good, exciting Christmas adventure. And I thought, well, Santa Claus always gets a bad rap as the fat guy, the fat, jolly guy who delivers the presents. So
that's not a bad rap.
What if Santa Claus was really a kick-ass fighter
right.
kind of guy? And,
well, the big old axe, I believe, right?
Yes, he had a huge axe, a battle axe.
Oh, I don't know. It was like, are you sure it wasn't Krampus that you were dealing with there?
But then the boys got to help Santa Claus save all the presents that got stolen.
Yes. So exactly. And so basically that is just an idea of getting a stereotype that everybody knows and turning it on its head. And boom, you came up with this idea of a whole adventure.
And they had a lot of fun.
And other things can inspire you for games of locations, right? If you see a picture of a location or something from your childhood or anything, and just tweak it, and it can become a place for your a location for your adventure.
That's what you did with the Dresden file game.
So I run a Dresden file game at different cons, but I base it in Monterey instead of Chicago, I think is where Dresden, since I don't know anything much about Chicago. So I set it in a place where I know, which is Monterey area. And Monterey is like a tourist town and stuff like that. And the thing Jolene was talking about is, I remember going to this park since I was a little kid. They used to bus us to this place called Dennis the Menace Park, which is a small city. It's not a small city park, but it's a city park in Monterey. It's a large park, and it's been there since like the 50s. In fact, the guy who wrote Dennis the Menace actually donated money to have that park built. So I took this idea of this happy place for kids and kind of turned it around and said, what happens if there was something terrible happening at the park? And that's what I based my adventure on, and it's been pretty fun running that game. Sometimes for me it's a combo of things, it's location or idea of a movie. I ran another Dresden game based on the lighthouse at Point Pinos right there in Monterey, and added some elements of the movie The Fog, which I did it by accident. I remember, I don't think I've ever actually seen The Fog, but I must have seen bits and pieces of it that it influenced my game, and people say, oh, you base this game on The Fog, the movie. I go, I've never seen that movie. And they're like, really? It's just like, it's kind of like the movie. I'm like, oh, wow. It was unintentional, I guess, but I had seen bits and pieces of the movie enough that it had actually influenced me enough to.
It wouldn't matter because you came from Salinas where the fog rolls in every day at 4 o'clock.
It's like San Francisco, right? As soon as 5 o'clock rolls around, you see this big old bank of fog come in from Monterey, and you're, it's foggy. I mean, literally foggy. It's not like Thule fog from the valley where you can't see 5 feet in front of you, but it's pretty foggy. It's that fog that kind of chills you even colder, even though it's not that cold, because it just kind of soaks you. So there's locations can be a good influence for you coming up with ideas for adventure. So for me, I don't take a whole idea from a book or a TV series or episode. I just need an idea, right? And in this case, a lot of cases, it's just one little thing that happens. In the Dresden Files games, it was Dennis the Menace Park. What if there was a murder at Dennis the Menace Park? And then, because it was Dresden Files, it was supernatural kind of thing. So I really took off on that idea. The other one, the lighthouse, I always think lighthouses are kind of spooky, and they've been there forever. I mean, they're old, right? They're like from the...
Why would you think they're spooky?
Well, because they've been there for like over 100 years. And so different people have lived there. And I don't know. There's just something that old is always gives me the idea that there's kind of spookiness about it. Like I said, different people have lived there and worked there. People from way back. And so I just thought it would be spooky. And that's what I did. So I just use fragments of ideas. And I build off of that, an adventure off of that. I don't use whole plot lines because, it's ridiculous to think of a whole plot line because players aren't going to do what the characters or the actors or the script says it should do. So, you have that problem.
That's the difference between books and players.
And so that's why I like just use an idea, and then I come up with a situation, and then the rest of the game is the players figuring it out or reacting to that situation.
And it doesn't really matter where you get your inspiration from, because the players are going to have fun no matter what it is you're doing. Like, say, oh, you have to go save the princess. Well, that's an old idea, and it's been played out 1,000 times, but still, they're going to have fun doing it.
For the most part, I think. Yeah, you're right. I think the only thing I can do is give examples. I was listening to an actual play. Actual play was Tales from the Loop game. I only watched like one or two episodes, but one of the things that was happening, I used in my game. I came up with it. I go, oh, I can use that in the game. And so I used this idea of people being tired in the town, being so tired that they were falling asleep or napping and stuff all the time. And so I go, oh, yeah. And so just that idea alone, I took off. And I remember, I didn't watch the whole
episode.
I watched the whole episode, but I didn't watch the whole, you know, the whole game, because obviously the game kept going and it ended. I don't know how many episodes of or how many sessions of the podcast actual play went. I stopped watching it. I went off on my own with that idea. And you know, I ran a good 4-hour game off of that. Just one idea of these people being sleepy. And of course, I came up with my own reason why they were sleepy and who was doing it and why they were doing it. And Tales from the Loop is kind of, it is a mystery solving adventure game. So the characters come up with their own ideas of what's going on and how to figure things out.
Characters always come up with their own ideas.
Players. Yes. So that's what I do, is I come up with this idea. And sometimes ideas come from me from anywhere. I don't even know. One of my most popular games that I ran was a Tecmo game. Empire of Peril Throne now has the latest rules is called Bethorm. It's a real simple system, but the problem is that the background of the setting is huge, right? This guy started, it's kind of like a Tolkien. He started writing books, and then he started writing this big elaborate setting for his book, and he ran games. He ran D&D games or role-playing games based on this world. And it has this huge history and all this other stuff. And so it's a very difficult game, I think, to bring to a convention setting, because a lot of people don't even have never heard of it. If they've heard of it, very little information about it.
Or they know it by heart and love it, and then you have to be careful.
Yes, you're doing that wrong or whatever. My idea, I don't even know where I got it from, but basically I must have got it from like some crazy, you know, basically it was taking a prisoner from one city to another city. And that's all it was. And then you were charged or assigned to do this for various reasons. And this guy was a convicted murderer, whatever. And so that's what the idea was. And this movie called Midnight Run comes to my mind. And I think it has to do with a bounty hunter taking this guy from getting him to a destination, having all kinds of problems. And that's basically what happened, right? They were taking this prisoner from one city to another. And then they had all kinds of problems along the way. And they had to deal with all these problems, the character players. And that's all there was to it.
But that's how most adventures are when you're running a role-playing game. Most adventures are going from point A to point B. It's how you get there. That's the part of the fun that you're having and stuff. So the inspiration, the idea, is you just put out this idea, whatever it is. I say that casually as if it's easy, but it's really not, because you have to come up with plot points, or that's what I call them, like little things where the people are going to hit certain things, or they might not, so it might just change a little bit. But coming up with those ideas can be a lot of pressure. So what Saul is really talking about is where you get the ideas from is just, it could be everyday life, it could be something you read, it could be watching the news. A lot of times, like recently I took over a game so that Saul could play, and and I had a couple of weeks to get it ready, and it took me a week of reading stuff to come up with an idea, because you have a lot of pressure, especially when the people are having fun. You want to make sure that you continue that, right? So it's a lot of pressure to come up with any idea that's going to keep it going and they're going to enjoy. But then in the middle of my first session, I realized that it wouldn't have mattered what I did, as long as I threw in a battle, they were going to love it. So I came up with this idea, and it's just coming. I'm still coming up with the rest of it, right? How it's going to happen, or
right,
what the next things are. But everybody seemed to have fun. So if you just come up with a small idea to start with,
right,
and then you can develop it as you go. Unless it's a one shot, then you really have to get the whole game together.
Right. And I think for me, like I said, one shots are really easy, because, you know, if it sucks, you know, okay, I won't do that again. Or you might just have the wrong, might have the wrong people, not the wrong people, but a different group of people. Because that one game of Tecmo, I ran it three times, right? I ran it at two conventions, and then I ran it for a private group who had tried to get into my game but couldn't. And so they got together, and I played it at one person's house, and they were all totally different games because I never thought about running games over and over again, the same adventure. And for the longest time, I thought that was like wrong because like that's not.
It means you didn't put enough work into it if you're just redoing the same one.
You know, yeah, I thought it was like cheating at a convention, right? One of my friends works a lot on his games, right? Well, quite a few of them do. They have all kinds of props and all kinds of, you know, pictures and stuff like that and handouts to give to players. And I go, oh, okay. So, you don't want to waste all that work because on one shot, you know, running the game at one convention for one time. The only reason I ran it again, that Tecmo game, was because people go, oh, I missed playing it at KublaCon, and I want to run it, you know, run it again at DungeonCon or whatever. So that's what I did, and I had a lot of fun running it. It was really fun, and what I noticed is that, and I figured out is that because you have a different group of players, they do totally different things, and just the way it is. And so the game was different, and so I, you know, one of the things was is when I run games, I like to be a little bit entertained, and in this case, I thought I'd be bored if I ran it more than once, but I wasn't because the players were doing totally different things, and their take on what I was giving them, it was talking a different language. It was that different. The games were, even though it was the same plot, the same characters, everything, because I used pre-generated characters, and the same situation, and the games were just totally different, which I thought was pretty interesting. It was eye-opening for me to have that happen, because I thought they would, you know, more or less all do the same thing.
But they didn't.
They didn't. Not at all. And so that's what makes it fun. Then I'm enjoying the game because I'm really wondering what's going to happen next, because I don't know. I know, just because you got to take the prisoner from point A to point B, you know, it's who says it? It's the journey that matters, right? And in this case, it is, because some of these people were crazy. I thought they were crazy. You know, for example, I think I was talking to Jolene about the idea of To the King, right? And that was I thought it was from Lord of the Rings, but it might have not been. But I envisioned this group of soldiers or horsemen, you know, knights or whatever, seeing the king in battle far away. And they're like the cavalry, right? Literally, to save the day. I thought it was King, the guy from Rohan, who says, To the King, right? And they all charge and they save the day and blah, blah, blah. So just that line, To the King, I go, oh, man. And so I envisioned that happening with my D&D game, my players. And I go, oh, that's what I want. And I based almost on, no, I did. I based an entire campaign on that one line with the idea that at one point the characters would like save the day with cavalry and stuff like that.
The problem with that is that the king wouldn't be by himself in battle.
He was fighting, but you would be the cavalry, right, to save the day.
So if you're the king, you know that if you charge out into battle, all of your knights are going to follow you to protect you.
Right, but I was thinking like Elmer in Lord of the Rings. Maybe that's where it was from, Elmer, where he says To the King, right?
That's probably what it is.
Anyway, so like Elmer in the Lord of the Rings, you know, I hate to use Lord of the Rings so much, but he sees the king battling and probably losing at this point, and him and his
Rohan riders.
His riders are banished, right, because of political reasons. And then he comes in and saves the day, right? He goes crashing into the orcs and stuff like that. And so that was my idea that I had in my head. And I based the whole campaign to try to figure out, well, how could that happen where the characters are going to be in that situation to save the king?
Just put a medieval historian in and as so one of the players, and there you go.
I mean, it wasn't a big convoluted story, but the storyline was, you know, whatever it was.
You had to find the king.
You had to find, yeah, well, Jolene was playing in it. It didn't quite play out that way because they never got put in a situation where they had to save him in that manner, right? Where he was in battle.
Save him.
You did save him, but not in that way. You didn't go charging into the bad guys with lances out and stuff and fight your way to the king and help him, you know, win the war or whatever. That did not happen.
No.
No, right. So, but that was the whole basis of that entire adventure, that entire campaign.
That just goes to show you that your inspiration doesn't always play out the way you think it will.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. And that was just one line. I mean, that was just that idea that I had in my head. And I made this whole campaign based on that idea. And then the characters, the players and the characters never got in that situation where they had to charge, you know, what I had in my head when I first started this adventure. That never happened. But it was totally fine because And it would know what happened was just as exciting and just as fun. I think it was just as fun for the characters or the players.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I
had fun.
Yes. Yeah. So
I had fun because my character was had grown up with the king.
That's right.
And my whole life had been to protect the king. That was the whole thing because I was one of the noble families that did that, right?
Right.
From one of the noble families.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool for me because as a historian and I wrote about medieval kings and the idea of itinerant kingship. So that's what you do. So oh, it was really cool. I had a lot of
fun. Your geek is showing, honey. Your nerd
I can't help it.
Your history nerd is showing. Yes. And I know you can. You literally can't help it. I use everyday things that I see, listen, or hear. And I think a good idea is either to have a recorder or a little notebook or something to write your ideas
in. It's good to have a notebook because you get inspired sometimes by conversations you hear people having. And you go, that would be really cool as an intrigue point or something.
That'd be hilarious if you're like at a grocery store and you pull out a notebook and start writing things down. I'm like, oh, is this, this woman a private eye or something? Should call the cops on her. She's following me.
And I guess it depends on your group. If you're doing a one-shot game, it's going to be harder. You kind of have to come up with the adventure, the beginning, and you have to know what the ending is to have the conclusion because it's a one-shot, right? Unless you're just going to leave the poor people hanging.
No. I mean, you can have an idea how it's going to end, but I don't think – I mean, let me tell you, forget about it. I don't do that stuff.
There has to be an ending.
No. Well, you don't come up with an ending.
No, but they you have them going from – what if they're trying to find something – They'd solve a mystery. There has to be a conclusion.
Right.
It doesn't have to be what you think it was going to be.
No, and that's what I'm saying is that there's no way. There's absolutely no way. Unless you're in a dungeon, right?
And you need to get out.
And it's a dungeon crawl.
After you've gotten all the treasure and killed all the monsters.
Yeah, you killed the big bad at the end of this.
The boss, as my son would say.
The boss, right? You killed the big boss guy. Cause he's always in the last room. You know, why is there? Why is he there? Oh, I don't know, but there he is. So unless it's that kind of setting, then you can plan out the end. But in a game that I would like to play and run, that's not the way it works.
Well, you can have the last battle, but you never know how they're going to come to it or how it's going to end. There's always the chance, and I think that's what the players love the most is that there's a chance that you're not going to win.
Right.
But in the back of your head, you think you will.
Of course you do. I play with you guys, and when you guys don't think you're going to win, you guys are like, no, let's not go there. Most of you, anyway. There's always one or two of you that are like.
Charge right in?
Let me take a look. I could just sneak a peek. Okay, go ahead and sneak a peek. I'm going to take one
piece of gold from this dragon's treasure.
Big diamond off of the hoard. The dragon's horde, as they say.
There's always that one player that likes to do that. And then all the rest of them have to go rescue him. But that's part of coming up.
That's with terrible.
It doesn't have to be that your inspiration is different from your player's inspiration.
That's true. A lot of times, like I said, you know, I don't like running a script game. And that's why modules are really tough for me. Because modules are usually written very linear, right? Except for the campaign, Storm to King's Thunder, there's still this end battle that happens, right? It's not linear, but you know, there's a circumvented way to get to that ending. And that ending is what's supposed to happen.
But there's always a chance that it's not going to happen. You could get killed along the way.
You know, go ahead, go without us.
With giants and dragons, you could die at any time.
I know these people are like, you know what? It really isn't. Like, at the very value, I'll come with me and I'll give you. And they're like,
I don't know if I want to do
and
that.
I said, I had to bribe them, right? I had to bribe them with 25,000 gold. They're like, okay, let's go. I go, greed. It's a good way to entice your characters to do something they don't want to do. So where do you get ideas? Basically anywhere, anything can spark an idea, and you can get a fun adventure from anywhere: books, movies, podcasts, journal articles, news, TV,
or locations, your own mind,
your memories. Right? You know, I think Jolene talked about that idea of turning Santa Claus into a kick-ass, and he wasn't fat. You know, he was this total lean, mean, hulking machine, right? And so, he wasn't green, but he wasn't very jolly either, I think. And so, but she turned the stereotype on its head, and it was a really fun thing to do. It was just a spark of brilliance. And so, I kind of did that with Dennis the Menace. You know, Dennis the Menace Park is a happy place for my childhood. What would happen if a person got killed?
And if you're running a game location, if the people that you're playing with know the location, it's even better because it gives them a sense of knowing where they are. And if all the people that you're playing with have been to Monterey, and in this area, most of them have, then it gives them an idea of where you are. And if you know where you are, it's a lot easier to do things.
Well, it was, what's funny is that I'm sure some people who go to Monterey, because Monterey, you know, it's kind of a tourist area. They have a Cannery Row there, which is famous, the Steinbeck novels and all that. So there's a lot of people that go there, and it's a beautiful town, right? It really is. They may pass right by this park to get to that, to get to Cannery Road. They might not even know that park exists, you know.
But they'll see it.
When I put the pictures out, they go, "Oh yeah, I've seen that lake." I thought it was just because they have these little, during the summer,
paddle boats.
That's what they're called. And there's always people out there on them, and I've never been on them. I always wanted to as a kid. But I've never rented one. So you have to pass by that. You happen to look at it and see it. I go, yeah. Right on the inside of this lake is an island. And on that island is Dennis the Menace Park. And they're like, oh. And so that gives them a little bit of reality to the situation.
Well, and if you're from there, you have birthday parties at Dennis the Menace Park. And you take the kids to it. So.
Right. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it was a lot of fun when I was a kid. Of course, when you get older, the park changes, right? The different things that get put in and taken out and stuff like that.
Yeah, but then you take your kids to it. And
yes. Yeah. And so what I did is I took a lot of pictures of the park, or got pictures from the park, and I used those as handouts. And people were going, and people who had been there or had driven by there go, yeah, I know exactly where that is. I go, okay, well, that's where the murder takes place. And it goes from there, right? You get this idea about a location, and boom, you move forward, and the characters, you know, the players are intrigued enough to continue playing and have fun. And like I said, those ideas come from everywhere. I would suggest having a notebook somewhere, like a little tiny little notebook, especially if
it doesn't have games. To be too tiny.
Well, no, but something you can put in your pocket. Have you seen those?
And people have their phones now; they can just talk to them and tell them their ideas.
You know, I have a recorder app on my phone, but I've never used it to put down ideas,
which is probably a good thing, because I could see him stopping somewhere and talking to himself.
I work by a printer all the time, so we always have paper, and sometimes, like during my lunch or my break, I'll come up with an idea, and I'll write out like a paragraph or something, and I'll just put that in my pocket, and it'll sit in my pocket, and I forget about it, and then when I go do my laundry, I put out the pocket, and I put it on a table,
and then it's inspired again,
and then I'm re-inspired by my own writing.
Oh, I thought of that?
That's brilliant.
So although it can be hard to come up with ideas for games,
yes,
you can be inspired and just keep trying.
Well, don't even try. Just kind of zone out, and the first idea that comes to your head, you can use it. I mean, because literally it can
and
be
you
that
can,
easy.
You can always use a module and take off from the ideas that are in there.
Yes.
You don't have to go straight through it in a linear way.
Right, right. Oh no! Have it the basis of your own adventure. Yeah, I've done that too. Yes,
you can be inspired. I was inspired by reading the third edition Silver Marches book, the Forgotten Realms.
Oh, that supplement. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got all of Saul. Of course, in my house, I just had to go to the bookcase and pull out like 7 books, which I have stacked around the house because I've been looking at them to run the adventure. But you can get inspired by stuff like that.
Those are really good. I mean, in fact, they even have plot hooks in them, right?
Yeah, they have all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So. Although I went with something totally different. And then I went online and I found an adventure, and it was exactly what I was thinking in my head. But it was for low-level players, so I just took the idea. I kept the idea. I can't really use it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, there you go. For us, inspiration is exactly that. What is the Latin of inspiration? Something about spirit.
I don't know.
Inhabited by the spirit or something like that. And a good thing about that kind of inspiration, the ideas that come from anywhere, is that they're surprising to you too, right? You know, you don't know where that story might go. And so that's what I find entertaining.
Even if you do plot it out in your head or write it down on paper, you can always change it.
Oh, no, the characters will change it. The players will change it. You don't have a choice once it's out there for general consumption. Go out there, look at your library books, or look at your bookshelves, your newspapers. Turn on TV mindlessly and turn it on.
And have fun making your next game.
Yes. And think up of your first or your next adventure and make it happen.
This is Gaming Perspectives.
With Saul.
and Jelaine.
And you have a good day.